Hello, friends. It's great to come to you here today. Today, I'm going to be preaching about our story, the story of Columbine United Church. And when I think about our story, I think about Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, Thessalonians. It's a great salutation that Paul gives to them about what their story is supposed to be like as a church in a great and thriving city. Listen for the opening passage of Paul's letter to the church at Thessalonica, Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace to you. We always thank God for all of you, mentioning you in our prayers. We continually remember before our God and Father your work produced by faith, your labor prompted by love, and your endurance inspired by hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers and sisters loved by God, that God has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. You know how we lived among you for your sake. You became imitators of us and the Lord in spite of severe suffering. You welcomed the message with the joy given by the Holy Spirit, and so you became a model to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The Lord's message rang out from you not only in Macedonia and Achaia, your faith in God has become known everywhere. Therefore, we do not need to say anything about it, for they themselves report what kind of reception you gave us. They tell how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for God's Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the coming wrath. And here are the passages. May God bless these words now as I seek to apply them to our lives. So my sermon title is, So What's Your Story? What's your story? You know, it's a great conversation starter I use with people when I'm trying to get to know them and everybody's kind of hesitant about figuring out what to say. I always say, so tell me your story. People kind of are a little confused by that, and you have to prompt them a little bit as far as like, well, tell me something about you. Where you come? Where you live now? What do you do for a living? What's your story? How did you get to the point where you are right now? And you know, it's a great thing that I do when I ask people from Columbine United Church about, if I want to know something about their relationship with the church, I ask them, so what's your story? And it's a great way to get to know people about at the church. Some of them will tell you a story that spans decades. They've been a part of the church for 50 years, you know, and they were some of the founding members of the church. They've been here for 40 years. They talk about when Steve came and he was a young kid with long hair and a beard. Don't listen to those stories. Don't listen to those stories. They're making those stories up. But and some people will tell a story that they just came recently in the middle of the pandemic. All different kinds of stories. And you know, and I think it's so important to think about what is our story. We got to claim our story at Columbine United Church. You know, last week I focused on being This Is Us. Jill, Samantha, and I have been preaching a sermon series on what it means for us as a people and as a church to kind of come out in this whole new phase of being post-pandemic, you know, post-renovation. Of course, it's not post yet. We're still wrestling with these things, but we want to thrive as a church. We want to thrive as people. So we've been looking at these different things. So last week was, you got to be you. And this week is, we got to be we. We got to be us. We got to be Columbine United Church. We have to claim our story and live it proudly. And so, you know, I chose this passage from 1 Thessalonians because what Paul is saying to the church at Thessalonica is exactly what I think Paul would say to us. Paul is saying to them that they need to be a strong church in the middle of a thriving city. Thessalonica was a church that sat in a port. It was at a crossroads. It was a center for trade, for arts, and merchants, and all different kinds of businesses that were happening. And so Paul intentionally placed the church in Thessalonica, thinking that it would grow and would become such a successful church that it would be known throughout the region and to other towns and other Christian churches, and it would be an example for other churches to follow. They were to live with courage, they were to live with love, they were to live with endurance, they were to live with faith. They were supposed to tell a story about the presence of Christ in their life that others then could imitate in their own congregation. And so when I think about Thessalonians and that open salutation, I think about who we are at Columbine United Church, because we're a church that's been planted in the middle of a thriving city, and we're to live a story in such a way that it brings meaning and hope and identity for other people, that they can hopefully imitate us in their lives and in their congregations so they can tell a meaningful story themselves. I have the church's mission statement on my computer that I want to put my glasses on, and I want to read to you the mission statement because it tells in so many ways our story. Listen to this. The mission of Columbine United Church is to inspire and sustain a faith-driven church environment where members, friends, and seekers of all ages may explore and develop their personal relationship with God. We seek to grow our faith through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the study of Scripture, critical thought, and theological exploration, and in fellowship with others, regardless of racial, ethnic, or religious background, gender, or sexual orientation. You know, that's on our website, and I hope that you would read that and explore that and ponder what it is, what this means to you, because, you know, that passage right there says a lot about our story, about who we are as a congregation. First of all, what's kind of embedded in that story is that we are a progressive congregation. We believe in being a church where faith and life meet. We believe in taking the Scriptures seriously, not literally. We believe in the UCC slogan that God is still speaking, and we need to have the ears to hear and listen and respond to what God is saying in the middle of not just our context in Littleton and Denver, but literally throughout the world. You know, some people think that when we say that we're progressive, that it means that we're politically progressive, and some people push back from that because they have a different political persuasion. Let me clear that up. It has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with theology. It has everything literally to do with our story about who we are as a church. How we got to where we are as being progressive, theologically progressive, goes all the way back to the 80s, the early 80s, when we were wrestling with our sense of identity as far as, you know, who we were as a church and what did it mean to be a congregation. And we were doing a study, and we came upon this one phrase that spoke to all of us about our identity as a church. And there was this term, theologically open. There's actually four terms: that we were Christ-centered, theologically open, ecumenical, a place where faith and life met. There were these four touchstones, but theologically open spoke to us because we wanted to be open to all people of all backgrounds, of all faiths. You know, we didn't want to tell you what it is that you had to believe. We believe that God was working uniquely in your life, and you were brought to us at Columbine so you could share with us your story about what God was doing with you and through you. And it was a powerful part of our life because a lot of people wanted us to affirm a story. You have to affirm a story. You have to believe in certain doctrines. You have to teach doctrine. You have to teach dogma. And I kept on saying, no, we don't do that. If you want that, there's a church down the road that teaches an official story that you've got to adhere to. But you know what? We didn't do that. We believed in this notion that God was speaking in creative ways in different people's lives, and we were going to explore with them what it is that they believed. I had some people tell me, you've got to give me the answers. Like, no, I have answers, but they're my answers about what I believe. I'm going to tell you, share with you my answers, but I want them to only be something that prompts you in your life and for you to discover what God is doing in your life and through your faith. So that whole notion of being theologically open expanded and grew throughout the years as we encountered different obstacles and challenges to where we are now, where I say that we are unapologetically progressive theologically. You know, next week, Samantha and Jill are going to do a dialogue sermon on what does it mean to be progressive. So I'm not going to spend too much time going into that. But again, it's the sense that God is speaking and we are going to listen in all the different ways that God has to speak. You know, the mission statement says that we're going to use academics. We're going to use cutting-edge academics. I'm a process theologian, and I weave process theology into almost every sermon and Bible study that that I give. You know, we did the whole thing of last year on We Make the Road by Walking. That was a whole exploration in process theology, but also in progressive biblical studies. We used hard academics in understanding how God spoke in the past and how God is still speaking now. God is still speaking now, and we're going to use everything at our disposal to listen to where it is God is speaking. That's the story about how we got to be progressive. Then there's this other part of the mission statement that says that we are inclusive. You know, in some way, shape, or form, I say this, hopefully I say it, I should be saying it, every single Sunday, that we're progressive and that we are inclusive. You know, in many ways, people just take for granted that we're LGBTQI inclusive, and that is just kind of a part of who we are. Yes, it is a huge part of who we are, but what you need to know is the story about how we got there. It goes all the way back again to probably into the 90s, when I and a few other, can you believe that? I was in the middle of the controversy, started believing as though God was leading us to reach out to the LGBTQI community to make this a safe church for people to come to, regardless of their gender, regardless of their sexual orientation. The congregation really pushed back on it. Some people strongly opposed this and said that it was against the scriptures or against their faith. But I kept on coming back to being theologically open. If we're going to be theologically open, if we're going to be a place where faith and life meet, if we're going to be ecumenical, then you know what? We need to embrace all people, all of God's children. And so we did the hard work on that. We started sharing stories. We started inviting LGBTQI people to come and to speak to us. We started going to them. We started listening. And when we it wasn't really popular. We were vandalized because of our stand on LGBTQI inclusion. When we officially came out and said, this is us, this is who we are, over 100 people walked away from Columbine, and over $100,000. I used to joke that that we turned several of the congregations into thriving churches here in the Littleton area by the people who left our congregation and went to these other places. But by doing that, we were able to hone our sense of mission of what it meant to be an LGBTQI inclusive place. We started inviting people. I'll never forget when we did a baptism, our first baptism of a lesbian couple, of their children. It was an amazing thing. I remember when I was doing gay weddings out in the community. But the first time we did it in our building was a huge celebration for us, speaking and stepping into our mission of who we are as a congregation. We are to the point where this is just who we are. Of course, this is who we are, but there's a long story that goes along behind that. There were some wounds, there were some battles that were fought, but they were so important to tell the story. But we're more than just LGBTQI inclusive. We are inclusive of people of all different racial backgrounds and religious backgrounds. You know, one of the things about Columbine is that we believe that God is speaking not just in within the Christian community, but within the global religious community. And so we want to reach out and we want to listen to people of different religious backgrounds. And so literally, we have had almost every single world religion come to Columbine United Church to share with us their beliefs. We've had, of course, Jewish, Muslim, we've had pagan, we had Sufis, we have had witches, we have had Baha'i, we have had I can't think of all the different world religions that we've had come, and Wiccan was the one I was thinking about. We have gone to their places of worship because we want to know what it is that they believe. We want to be a part of their life. And that has become part of our story. We've had such things as the fresh worship services, where we've integrated different religious faiths into our Christian faith, and we've celebrated in a worship setting all the different world religions. So a lot of things. And now I think the cutting edge for us is to become a BIPOC congregation, a Black Indigenous people of color. How can we become a rainbow congregation reflective of all of God's people? That's, I think, is going to be the cutting edge for us. And I want to engage hopefully now in 2022, when we get back in our building and we've reestablished ourselves as a congregation. We are a story that includes women. You know, this is something that we just like take for granted. And every time I say this, I say, you cannot take this for granted, because churches around the world, around the United States, in our Littleton area, don't allow women to be ministers. They don't allow them to serve on church councils. They don't allow them to speak in church. They have to speak at home. The husbands rule the household. Women take a subservient role. We do not believe this. This is why I'm so glad we have people like Jill and Sam and Natalie on the church staff, working among us, leading us, showing the way, showing us what it means to be a faithful child of God. I think it's dynamic to have them working with us. We believe in women and women's work within our congregation. So we're progressive. We're inclusive. We're inclusive in all the different dimensions that what that means. Then there's a lot of other stories that we tell about who we are at Columbine United Church. You know, I personally tell a story that goes all the way back to kind of a watershed moment. I would say in our church's story, also in my own story, is the shootings at Columbine United, Columbine High School. We were there on the day the shootings happened. We were literally on the campus when the shootings happened. We were first responders. That night, people from the community came flooding into our building. We opened up the building for everybody in the community. We had a worship celebration, and that began the story. We were a healing congregation in the community. We were a sanctuary church for the parents of the kids who died. We were a sanctuary church for the victims. For the victims themselves and for the parents of the victims. We were a sanctuary church for people in the community who were grieving and wondering how this could happen to us in the middle of their own beloved community of the Littleton Columbine community. For 10 years, we were a healing part of the community story of putting the Columbine area back together. There wasn't a week that went by that I wasn't in some way involved in dealing with the aftermath of the Columbine shootings. We dealt with it. We were in church in trauma. We had a turnover literally of every single staff member except myself and the church secretary, Dot Schichtons. Ask Dot to tell you some stories about Columbine. She has some stories about me, but please don't ask her to tell you those stories. But we were a church in the wake of trauma. We worked our way out of that trauma to the place where we came to an integrated place of healing, to a wholeness. So where we are today, we are a whole. I believe that we are a whole congregation. That's one of our stories. What other stories do we have? You know, weddings and funerals. You know, every single wedding, every single memorial service, I think, is special. One memorial service stands out is that the memorial service of Greg Runn. Greg Runn was killed in Iraq in the Battle of Fallujah. I'll never forget working with the U.S. Marine Corps in creating this memorial service. It was probably one of the more profound experiences of my ministry to work with the Marines and create this memorial service and set Greg to rest over in the cemetery, the National Cemetery over there off of Sheridan Boulevard. Every time I go to that cemetery, the Veterans Cemetery, I go there and I visit Greg's headstone. I just say a little prayer for Greg. Something that I will never, ever forget is Greg Runn's memorial service. Maybe you've had a memorial service at Columbine. Maybe you've had a wedding at Columbine. There's been so many great weddings. I have so many funny stories about the weddings that have happened at Columbine over the years. I had a bride wet her pants. Of course, there's people who have passed out. I had a dad who had a heart attack right in the middle of the ceremony. Talk about a deal breaker right there. So funny stories, but also meaningful stories. And now our story continues. You know, if you had asked me 5 years ago, if I would tell the story about leading a church through a pandemic and then being away from our building for a year and a half, I would have said, I don't know how to tell that story because I don't think I have the gifts and skills and abilities to do it. I had no idea. I don't think any of us had any idea about how to lead a church through a pandemic. But you know what? We've done it. We stepped up to the plate. God brought us the challenge. We stepped up the plate and we did it. We did it to the point where now hopefully next week, if the creeks don't rise and if we're not flooded out, we're going to have our first worship service in our brand new building next week. And I hope that you can attend. You know, get this, I won't be able to be in the first worship service in our building. A year and a half ago, I planned a big hunting adventure for this week, thinking that, oh, we'd be in our building by August, everything, the fall programs will be running, things will be going smooth, I can take off a week and go hunting with my good friend up in the mountains, and guess what? I'm not gonna be here on the first Sunday we're back in the building, but you're gonna be in good hands with Jill and Samantha. You know, my story with Columbine, it's been my whole entire life. I have poured out my entire life in the Columbine United Church. My life story is Columbine's story. The Church of Thessalonica, they became a living example of the presence of Christ in their entire community, throughout the city of Thessalonica and to the surrounding areas. I believe that Columbine has become a living example of the presence of Christ in the world in the middle of our context. We have taken the gifts of the Holy Spirit to us and we have made them shine in our community to the point where oftentimes people look for us to see what is Columbine doing? What are they saying? What are they preaching? What are they teaching? We can learn from them. We have a message, we have a story that we're called to share. What's your story? I want your story to be a part of Columbine United Church's story. Thank you for listening.